How many of you love to read those things with, you know, church signs, different things, you know, like for instance, you know, the fitness club is meeting in this fellowship hall. Please use the double doors on the side of the building. You know, things like that. Okay. Right. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Well, this is the one that came up, and this is called All Dogs Go to Heaven. Now, understand, I tried to find the best quality I could of these. And so you have to go with this and realize if they're a little grainy, it's not my fault. Again, I didn't do it. So anyway, Our Lady of Martyrs Catholic Church on their sign put, all dogs go to heaven. See that? Can you read it? Is it clear enough? All right, good. Okay, well, across the street, Beulah Cumberland Presbyterian Church says, only humans go to heaven, read the Bible. Okay, well, the Catholic Church wasn't going to be outdone, so they said, God loves all his creations, dogs included. Okay. To which the other church responded, dogs don't have souls. This is not open for debate. Which then they responded, Catholic dogs go to heaven. Presbyterian dogs can talk to their pastor. Of course, not to be outdone, they said, converting to Catholicism does not magically grant your dog a soul. Of course, then the response was, free dog souls with conversion. Dogs are animals. There aren't any rocks in heaven either. Which finally, the response is, all rocks go to heaven. Now, why did I do this? First of all, because it was funny, and I finally got you all to laugh during Sunday morning service. No, the reason why is because last week I talked about how we get hung up on things, right? We get hung up on doctrinal issues that separate the church. Okay? That wasn't on the slide. Anyway, but the idea there, we get hung up on these things instead of realizing that the focus of our salvation is Jesus Christ. That's where everything rests. We separate ourselves not because we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again, and sits at the right hand of the Father, that the Holy Spirit has been sent to draw us to the Father. That's not what we get hung up on. We get hung up on things like whether or not dogs go to heaven. Okay, or rocks for that matter. So, it's humorous. I thought it was anyway. And so for that reason, I thought it would be well worthwhile to just put that up there and kind of lighten the mood today. This morning, I'm going to preach on the word koinonia. Okay? Very simple. Koinonia. Now, koinonia is a Greek word, and I am right now working on a paper that requires me to exegete, which means to really go back and dig into a lot of the Greek and stuff, some passages on the Holy Spirit from the book of Hebrews. And I haven't done this in a while, and I told Debbie, like on Monday or of last week or something, says, boy, am I out of shape. I'm out, you know, it's amazing what happens if you don't do something. You know, we talk about physical fitness. There's such a thing as spiritual fitness, okay, which is our prayer life and things like that. I hope none of you are out of shape that way. But there's also the idea of just a study idea of fitness as well. And it's like, so it took me like 3 or 4 days to do the first one. And then Friday, I sat down to do the second one, and by Saturday morning, I was done. She goes, well, you got that one done fast. I said, well, again, you get back into that training of what you're doing. You know what to look for. You know what to do and everything else. And so I thought, well, since I'm doing this right now, even though this isn't from Hebrews, I had done a sermon some years ago called on Koinonia, and this isn't that sermon. But I thought to myself, this is a great Greek word. I love this word. And when I get to the end, I've got something here that I really want to point out that I think is very interesting. We talk about fellowship and we talk about where we're going to go as a church and where we're going to go in reaching others for the kingdom of God. And so just stay with me. I try not to, you know, try not to sneak out early or anything like that, you know, and go into the kitchen and, I don't know, sneak some snacks or something like that before dinner. And don't forget, afterwards is dinner. We should have enough food. I don't know. My wife says we have plenty. So if you didn't bring anything or you're visiting with us, please feel free to stay and join us for dinner today. And afterwards, what we're going to do is we're going to leave here. We're going to go into the fellowship hall and we're going to have koinonia. Okay? Understand that. Koinonia. We're going to have fellowship. And in the Pentecostal circles, fellowship is impossible without food. Amen? Just keep, remember, there's a fine line between fellowship and gluttony. we're in fellowship. So this morning, I'm going to go ahead and I'll turning control over to you now, Doug. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and let's stand this morning as we read this morning's passage. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 through 17. It says, I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. I pray that we go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, anoint this word and speak through it to each and every one of us, and let us receive with glad and joyful hearts all that you have for us today. And we just ask, Lord, that you be with us during this time, during the time of fellowship afterwards, and clean up and all of that. And even as we leave here and go forward today from the church, whenever we leave, I pray, Father, that you would just let us walk out of here with you. As I said earlier, even if we're by ourselves, we're never alone, because you are always ever present with us. And we, for that, we are grateful and thankful in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to begin, first of all, because I don't know if it happened or not. Today is a day of remembrance as we honor those who have given their lives for our freedom. I had the Memorial Day thing up there. Some sacrificed the comforts of home and closeness of family. Others sacrificed unto the point of death. I was in the car the other day, and there was a bumper sticker, and it had a soldier, you've probably seen it, kneeling at a cross, and it said, say it again, one at a time. Yeah, that's it. All gave some gave all. And the idea, okay, everyone that served has given something. And their families have given something. Some have even given unto the point of death. They gave all that they had. And so with that in mind, before we go any further, if you have served in the military, I would ask if you could stand this morning, because we'd like to honor you. And thank you. You may be seated. I did want to do that this morning, because it's one of those things that if I don't write it down here, it doesn't come out here. Okay? I'm sorry, I'm that way. My wife had us do, they take this thing called a color test. I don't know if you've ever, it's kind of like a personality profile test, and I found that I'm 70% red and blue, which 77%, two-thirds of me is these two colors, which just don't work well, okay, unless it's written down. So some of you are going to, I wonder about that. You can find that on your own if you want. But we're thankful for what you sacrifice. It's because of your sacrifices and the sacrifices of others, men and women, that we do have the freedom this morning to gather here, to worship God, to sing choruses, to pray out loud, to pray for one another, to anoint one another in prayer, to take time in the fellowship of communion. And if you'll notice this morning's passage, and in all honesty, I forgot we were doing communion today, when I chose the passage that we have from 1 Corinthians this morning, but it, again, the idea here, we talk about what? The blood and the body of Christ, which are the elements that we use, symbols for us in our communion to remind us of the great sacrifice that was paid. So we have all this, and I want us to consider, of course, this idea of the freedom to gather and to have fellowship and to not be concerned about, political, you know, forces coming in and shutting us down. Of course, if they did, what would we do? I'm of the mind that, it's about Christ. It's not about the government. As a matter of fact, the Lord's really impressed this upon me that we need to understand we have politics, the kingdom of God and the preaching of the word takes precedence over what happens in Washington. Okay? Let's not let them dictate what we do. Okay? So, I'm done with that one. So this morning's message is simply entitled Koinonia. Koinonia is a Greek term that means fellowship or partnership, and you can find this in Acts and Galatians and 1 John. It can also be translated participation or communion. And this morning we'll consider this in light of the idea of fellowship. And he's already one ahead of me. Okay, and these are the things we're going to look at. Fellowship in Christ, fellowship in the Spirit, and fellowship in the body. So let's take a look at the first one, fellowship in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul reminds the Corinthians that their fellowship is one they were called into because of Jesus Christ. We are not here this morning. I honestly believe we are not here this morning just because we've got nothing better to do between 10:30 and noon on a Sunday morning. We are here because of Jesus Christ. We are here this morning because we either have had, or are seeking a relationship with Jesus Christ. So what this means for us is that we must realize the importance of what Paul is saying here. As one commentator put it, he says, as God called them initially into fellowship, the word there is koinonia, with Christ, he is faithful in completing the work, granting them every grace and gift for daily life. The call to follow and to be in relationship and koinonia with Jesus Christ is not a one-time call. This is not something that we do the day we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and then think, okay, well, I'm now a Christian. What does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to be a Christian? What it means is I have fellowship with Jesus Christ each and every day of my life without exception. This is not something that was a once-in-a-lifetime event, okay? This is something that takes place on a continual basis. Jesus Christ is our reason for fellowship. Again, we are here because of him. We fellowship because of him. Whether we're partaking of communion, whether we're worshiping in song, no matter what we're doing it because of Jesus Christ. Without him, none of this is possible. He died in order that we might live together as a body, but we must live as that body in relationship and fellowship with him. And to build on what I shared last week, it's not just at the corner of Rutherford and Bradford. All churches, all bodies of believers that gather together this morning that have a true born-again relationship with Jesus Christ do so because of Christ. It's not because this is the socially expedient thing for me to do. I'm going to go to that church because it's filled with doctors and lawyers. Okay? I can remember many years ago when our kids were at home, my wife loves to go to the beach. Okay, she just loves to go to the beach. Me personally, but she loves it. And she said, one day, she said something about, you know, most of the people that have homes on the beach, they're usually well-to-do, right? The doctors and lawyers, those who can afford those places. And she made just some arbitrary comment about, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have someone that you know that's a doctor, a lawyer that has a place at the beach and go down there and park at their place and go on the beach and everything else. And one of my kids, it was probably Andrew, he's the one that would probably say something like, he goes, stop and think for a minute. You don't run in those circles. Think about that. You know, there's a tendency to be drawn to people for a certain reason. If I wanted to find somebody that lived in those circles, I'm going to go out and look for somewhere where I can find people that I come into contact with, right? We used to use the term the country club set. And we know individuals who were country club members that couldn't afford to be country club members, but they became so not because of the club, but because of the contacts. Okay. Now, personally, I would rather be in contact with Jesus Christ. If I'm going to run in circles, let them be his circles. Right? He's the reason that we're here. We're not here because all of us are just like thinking, you know, we're all in the, I don't know what you want to say. Because we just feel that we're going to benefit ourselves from this in some way socially. I pray you're not. Okay? Or relationally. Until we get to this last point. But because we're here to help ourselves and to run in this circle spiritually. Jesus Christ is our foundation. You see, fellowship in Christ is necessary in order that we may complete God's work through us. And so when we talk about this idea of our reason for fellowship, we have to ask ourselves, what's our reason for being? And the reason that we're here this morning is because of the fact that God has begun a work in us through Jesus Christ that he wants to bring to completion. He wants to work in us. He wants to work through us. the work to begin. We talked about this morning in Sunday school. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And we begin to talk about the word just left me. Degrees. We work through degrees of our relationship with God. What's that? Glory to glory. Thank you very much. I could not remember that for anything. But the idea here, okay, are you today where you were the day you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior spiritually and relationally? If you are, you're not heading in the right direction. You're heading in the wrong direction. You see, he who began a good work in you wants to bring it to a point of completion, to move from glory to glory, to this is where I was 5 years ago, and this is where I was 4 years ago, and 3 years ago. And if you cannot look at your life and say, you know what, my relationship with Jesus Christ is not greater than what it was the day I accepted him. You know, some people say, oh, I remember what it was like when I accepted Jesus. It was so wonderful. You mean to tell me it's not now? Think about that statement. It should be more wonderful. Does the dynamic change? Absolutely. But we need to improve, increase in our relationship and our love for Jesus Christ. And in doing so, we need to realize it is, fellowship with Christ is necessary. The second thing we see here is fellowship in the Spirit. Philippians 2, 1 and 2 says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation, and the word he uses for participation is koinonia. Okay, it's not using fellowship, using participation. Any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one and of one mind. So what he's saying here, any fellowship in the Spirit. Okay, if there's any encouragement, any in Christ, any fellowship in the Spirit, then what? We're in the same mind. We are together in this thing. We have the same love. We are in one accord. Okay? Do you understand what we're saying here? What he's saying? Because, you know, there's this tendency sometimes in the body of Christ to kind of be, and I think this is a Western culture concept of this Lone Ranger-itis in the body of Christ. You cannot exist alone. And while we need a relationship with Jesus Christ, we also need a deeper relationship in the Spirit. Fellowship with the Spirit. Again, in our Sunday school class, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been on it now for several months, and from the looks of it, it'll be several months more. This could end up going all the way through to December. And I'm fine with that. Because I'd rather take the time to discuss the importance and the role of the Holy Spirit in my life than just to say, there's a Spirit, He exists. Very important that we understand the role of the Spirit in our life. And you know, that role involves fellowship. That means that I'm sensitive to the moving and the anointing of the Spirit. As the Spirit guides, I'm willing to move. I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to accept and receive. And as I was sharing this morning this idea, I said, realize this, that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you've already had fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you're incapable of coming to Christ. Anyone want to debate me on that? You know, that you can talk to your blue in the face, but I'm telling you what, that's what the Spirit was sent to do. To draw us to the Father. Jesus Christ died, and he said, I must go, that the Comforter, the Counselor, that one which will draw you to the Father must come. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that was the day you said to the Holy Spirit, I'm willing to let you do God's work in my life. But he didn't stop on that day. That was just a starting point. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, as one commentator put it, the fellowship produced by the Holy Spirit should stimulate the practical exercise of unity. We're talking about koinonia here. Why are we together? Why can we take all these different personalities and profiles and likes and dislikes, okay, and bring them together, united for one cause and one purpose? Because the purpose isn't our favorite color or our favorite sports team or our favorite dessert or our favorite main course or our favorite flower. It's Jesus Christ. The only way that we can even stay united is through the working of the Holy Spirit. If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, then all of a sudden, personalities begin to take effect and begin to filter into the group. And likes and dislikes. Many of you may have too. You've been in environments where all of a sudden there's one or two individuals who do not allow the Holy Spirit to work through them the way they should. And they begin to press their own agendas forward for the sake of the call of Jesus Christ and the purpose of God. And it's important that we realize this as we move forward. This whole idea of again, what I said last week, I believe the Lord is leading us to, is we have no idea who will come through these doors. We have no idea who God will put us in contact with. We have no idea whether or not someone we'll end up coming alongside someone or another church and helping them in their ministry. Do we allow ourselves, our personal biases and our personal desires and everything else to take precedence over what God wants to do, or are we obedient to the Holy Spirit and step out and say to God, as your Spirit leads, so I will follow, because I'm here to unite to the kingdom of God and not to bring everyone else to unite with me. You see, the Holy Spirit is our source of fellowship. This is the foundation. And it's interesting because, as I was saying earlier in class, there are some, what we would refer to as cessationists. Those were those who believed that the gifts of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, ended with the first century church. And yet at the same time, you can talk to those individuals and they will still accept the fact that it was the Holy Spirit who brought them to Christ. The Holy Spirit still has a function. I don't care what Christian church you're in. And that function is to draw us together. So when they gather together on a Sunday morning, they may not believe in the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they believe that they're drawn there because the Holy Spirit has spoken in their lives. The Holy Spirit is the source of our fellowship. Okay. It's not the fact that the service gets out at a certain time so we're able to get to the buffet quicker or my roast doesn't burn. Right? So understand this, that fellowship in the Spirit is necessary in order that we might unite in God's work. The work that we will do here is not ours to do. It's God's. And again, I know I've shared this before, but I have been in churches where they've sought to try to accomplish certain things by their own power or by committee or say, we need to do this for this reason without ever taking it to prayer. Without ever seeking the will of God in what's going on. I was talking to Debbie yesterday, and if I were to say to this congregation, my goal by the end of the year is that we have a regular Sunday attendance of 50. How many can give me an amen on that? Amen. 50 is good, right? It's a start. Okay, that's my goal. What's my plan? How are we going to get there? We can state whatever we want to be the case, but if the Holy Spirit is working through us and shows us God's purpose, and we step into God's purpose and plan, then we don't worry about whether it's 50. We worry about fulfilling the will of God and see what happens from there. We can set our own agenda and our own plan and miss God's purpose, because the purpose isn't in us. The source of the purpose is the Spirit of God working in and through us as a body. And you know what? If I were to say, this is where we want to go, this is where I want to be by the end of the year, and I were to ask you all how we're going to get there, the answers could be as varied as the number of people in this room. But if we step in together to the source, the Holy Spirit, then we're all of one mind and one body, right? And one purpose. And we walk together to that goal. I think this is really one of the biggest hindrances of the church is the fact that we do tend to not allow ourselves to, as a corporate body, accept the leading of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we think, well, you know what? Yeah, that's pretty good. However, I think it should be done this way. Well, good for you. I'm glad that you know more than God. Okay? Because I don't believe any of us do. The third thing, then, so we have fellowship in Christ, fellowship in the Spirit, And finally, fellowship in the body. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, koinonia, and to the breaking of bread and prayers. This is really where it begins. One commentator put it this way. Not only were Christ followers in the early church devoted to their primary relationship with God, but they also were committed to building open, honest, spiritually encouraging relationships with God's people. Notice here that the writer says they were devoted to, they were committed to building open, honest, spiritually encouraging relationships amongst themselves. Why? Because it wasn't about their agenda. It was about God's. It was being open to the leading of the Holy Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit do His work in and through us as a body. The body is our place of fellowship. Whether we're meeting here like this, whether we're meeting on Wednesday nights, whether we're meeting in Sunday school, whether we're meeting in life groups, regardless of what we're doing, we do it together as a body of believers. We share together as a body of believers. And it's not just here. As I mentioned last week, the body of Christ is not limited to time and space. The body of Christ started 2,000 years ago, almost, on the day of Pentecost. It has continued to grow and to flourish for the last close to 2,000 years, but it's not limited by borders. It's not limited by walls. The body of Christ will meet here, as well as down the street, as well as halfway around the world, either direction, or all the way around the world and back to here. I don't know where, but the point is the body of Christ is only limited as we limit it. If we see ourselves as the only way, then we have a problem. The fellowship in the body is necessary in order that we might grow in strength and unity. If we gather together just to, I want to say it, just to fill ourselves spiritually, just to enjoy each other's company, then we're missing the purpose for our existence. Strength and unity in the body are very important because they're not grounded in us. They're grounded in others. As I shared last week, if we consider the fact, and the videos from the conference are online now. I want to go back and see that first night that we missed because I want to get the numbers right. We look at the church, and pretty good crowd this morning. You all look really nice, and you all look good. You're awake. That's wonderful. I appreciate that at this point. And the thing is we are not just this little church here, but we are part of a bigger body that exists. That's the Potomac Ministry Network. So we're part of a mega church. But you know what? Our church is even bigger than that because the headquarters for our church is in Springfield, Missouri. Okay? So we're part of an even bigger mega church because our church goes beyond state borders. But also goes beyond the borders of our country. It goes around the world to where it's flourishing. The Pentecostal church and the rest of the world is flourishing to the point where other nations, third world nations, are sending missionaries here. Think about that. Countries we used to send missionaries to are now looking at us and saying, you guys need missions. Wow. We missed something. We become so comfortable. Our unity and our strength, we're divided. We can't get along. We can't unite with other people of other Christian faiths because they don't have our doctrine. You're right, they don't. But they have our Christ. They have the same spirit. They have the same call. They even have the same word of God. Think about it. They use, it might be the King James, but it's still the Bible. Right? We must grow and strengthen unity, and that goes beyond just getting together in fellowship and talking about what a wonderful week it is and how good the food is and how wonderful the worship was and everything else. It's a spiritual thing. You know, I was at this Circle Breakfast for pastors. We do once a quarter. The presbyter does this. It's the easiest way to get everybody together. We had an attorney come in and speak, and he was talking about a new law that's coming down in Virginia for pastors beginning July 1st that has to do with abuse within the church and reporting abuse and stuff. And I won't get into all that, but the point I want to make here is as I look around the room and I was sitting there, I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm looking at the different pastors of different churches. They're all AG pastors. And I'll tell you what, you can go to any one of those churches this morning, you're going to get a whole different dynamic on worship. You're going to get a whole different dynamic on the length of the service. You're going to get a whole different dynamic on the preaching of the word. But we're still going to have Christ. And we come together not to compare notes, but because we want to strengthen and unify one another in the body. Your purpose for being here this morning is unity in the body of Christ. Your purpose here this morning is to be strengthened by the word of God for the purpose of the body of Christ, for the kingdom of God. That's why we're here. Let me share this in closing. A quick study of the Greek word koinonia finds its root to be the word koinos. I did this last night. I thought to myself, this is so profound. It's like one of those things I found by accident. Okay? Again, you have these words, you have the Greek roots, and you have different things. I've already determined this morning that koinonia can be defined as fellowship or participation. However, it might interest you that its root, koinos, is most often translated common. The root to fellowship is common. However, it can also mean unclean or ordinary. Now, I was thinking about that last night. The idea of the root word to our fellowship can mean unclean or ordinary. What that tells me in my mind, and I'm running fast and loose with this right here, right now, so please forgive me if you want to say heretic, heretic. But the idea here for me is the fact that that's who we all are. There is nothing special about a one of us in this room. God has taken what was unclean and ordinary and common and brought it together for a purpose. And those that will come after us, regardless of what their lifestyle is like or who they are or what they believe, if God leads them here, and I am a firm believer that you are here this morning because God wanted you here. We used to use the term divine appointment. I'm a firm believer in that. If you responded to somebody's invitation, it's because God wanted you here at this moment, at this time. That's how God works. If God leads individuals in here, it doesn't matter to me who they are, how they live, what they do. They are here because God said, I want you there today. And when they walk into that door, they are no more unclean or no more common than any one of us. They just don't have Christ. Yes, Christ cleanses us, but we still struggle with sin. His redemptive work, the work of the Holy Spirit, we're justified, okay? Sin, forgiven of our sins, we're sanctified, set apart for a purpose, but we still struggle. That's why we continue to pray, continue to seek the Spirit in our life, continue to do these things that are necessary, that we can have that relationship God wants us to have. But as we're working our way through this, we're still just common, ordinary people, nothing special. That's what God likes working with, right? My goodness gracious, isn't it a wonderful thing? When I saw that, I said to myself, whoa, unclean, ordinary. What hint does this give you about koinonia? That's the question I have. Maybe what it is telling us is that our fellowship should not be seen as something out of the ordinary, but as that which is common to all who confess Christ as Savior. And if that's the truth, if that's the truth, and we are nothing more than just that common who have confessed Christ as Savior, does that make us any different from any other Bible-believing, God-fearing church? Absolutely not. As long as Jesus Christ is Lord, we are all on common ground. And as we seek God's will, as we seek His purpose, as we pray, Lord, let your will, not my will, be done. As I shared with the board this morning, that third element of our mission statement says to serve all. All to me means everyone without exception. We can't pick and choose. But we must prepare ourselves and be ready for what God wants to do. Because I believe he wants to do something. And I believe he has called all of us to be a part of it. Will it make some of us uncomfortable? I believe so. Will some of us rejoice saying, this is great? I believe so. But can all of us be willing to say, Lord, let not my will, but your will be done in my life and in this church? If we can get to that point, God overcomes the uncomfortable. God joins us in our rejoicing. And we gather together as a body of believers. I will be closing this out next week. And then, of course, I'll be gone for a week and Ken will be sharing on the 9th. But I'll be closing this out next week, this little series here. So I challenge you, if you can be here to be a part of this, do so. And if not, they're going to be recorded. But I hate to say that because I don't want you waiting for the recording. You should be here live, right? Not live, not Memorex. Amen? Amen. Now what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of communion. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would stand in the back and get ready. Those who are going to serve, stand there and wait until I call you forward. Should have one more over here. Okay. And then if you're visiting with us today, we only have one requirement for communion. That's Jesus Christ as your Savior. Has nothing to do with being a member of this church or being in the church role. It has to do with your membership in the kingdom of God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, please feel free to receive communion with us. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning and you haven't accepted Christ, or you find yourself in a position where you say, you know what, I just really need to recommit my life to Jesus Christ, and you want to take communion and do that, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that before we receive of communion. So if you feel that that's the direction the Holy Spirit is leading you, please feel free to join us, but we'll have a time of prayer before we do receive. So I'm going to ask those that are going to serve to come forward.